Good afternoon, everyone. Today we are back talking about Buddhism. And last week we talked about the three poisons. We talked about many different aspects of different reasons why people get sick. And today we're going to actually talk about Buddhist way of healing. Just to kind of refresh it a little bit, let's go over the three poisons. You want to kind of start there?
Why do we get sick? Yeah. Hi, everyone. Back again in our podcast. Great to be here. And yeah, thanks, Michelle. Yeah, I think as mentioned before, yeah, there's a whole system around Buddhist healing approaches and Buddhist medicine. The three poisons are considered the ultimate cause of disease and illness. And the three poisons basically are mental poisons. They're ways of thinking that we get into that eventually lead through various chains of cause and effect to a physical illness, perhaps, or some other sort of disturbance in our system. And there's obviously a lot more detail to it. We only got to the three poisons last time, but there's so much more to discuss. And we'll go into the five elements, and we'll go into the nyepas as well, and other ways of thinking that actually help fix that, you know, and fix diseases. So what are the three poisons again? Let's just recap. They're desire, anger, and ignorance. Desire, anger, and ignorance. Why are those difficult for us? Let's have a think. If you think about it, when you desire something, you almost become attached to it, don't you? You know, somebody, oh, I want that money or that car or that thing. People often become very fixated on it and they're kind of attached. And if they don't get it, then they get upset. So that's the first effect you feel is, you know, the upset and the disturbance of not having the thing that you wanted, you know.
I think that when it comes to desire, I've seen how it can affect people. Like you sit here and you say that I want this. If I get this, I'll be happy. If I get this, if I get a new car, I'll be happy. If I get a new house, I'll get happy. If I make $100,000 a year, I'll be happy. If I retire, I'll be happy. But you keep on if I, and you never create that happiness. So you're always searching for something outside of yourself.
Yeah.
Bring that. I think we brought up the idea of desire, not to get confused with like, I desire to pay my bills.
Yes, sure.
I desire to find a mate. You know, I think that that can be confused sometimes, things that we need. But when it comes to almost bringing that desire into greed, that's where it's a problem, right? Isn't that what you were talking about?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the Buddhists will also say it's about self-grasping. It's wanting to grasp onto something. You know, there's a great little story that my Zen teacher told me. I was doing Zen for 30 years, and the story was that, you know, there's a person walking along by a river, and they see a beautiful flower. And the thought process is, do I grab that flower and pick it and take it with me? Or do I just look at it and see how beautiful it is in its own context? And that's the key to desire. It's sort of like you can either grab it, and if you do pick that flower, it's going to die at some point. It'll probably stop being beautiful, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just leave it and look at it and admire it and then let it go, it'll continue to grow and it'll always be there to brighten your day when you next walk past, you know? Mm-hmm. And we do that with people, you know, we'll pick someone and then we control them and then we take them. You know, you see relationships fail because they're not allowing the person just to be that, be themselves.
I think we were just talking about that a minute ago. My past relationships, the biggest problem that I've had in the past has been because I'm so multidimensional that people want to kind of put me in a box and they don't just let me be the person that I am. And I think that that's where things that get harmed, you know, destroyed.
And then that leads to another of the three poisons, which is ignorance. It's like people don't understand why someone isn't behaving the way they expect, or, you know, they don't understand human nature, or they don't understand their own nature ultimately, which again, you know, causes problems. It'll cause someone to cling on to you. It'll cause someone to carry out certain actions that they may not do if they really thought about it.
You know, I've seen this play out with religion. You know, I've seen people on Facebook who don't know what they're talking about. They start posting stuff and there's like arguments that start that think that they know what they're talking about. But, you know, they don't have enough knowledge to be able to make that kind of assumption. I learned years ago when I was a Buddhist, I don't close myself off to something. I may not necessarily agree, but I'll state that I'm open to everything and I'm not going to oppose anything. But I'm not sure that I 100% agree because I don't have information to be able to make that. I don't have enough experience. And I think that if, like, calling ourselves ignorant, maybe what we can do is just try to open ourselves up to more knowledge, and that'll help us?
Well, let's think about it. I mean, we don't know about ourselves, do we? Most people really don't really know anything beyond perhaps how the body works. They might know that, but they don't. Often people don't know how the mind works, and we're not taught that in school either. You know, I think that should be a priority in schools. They should be teaching kids how to understand their minds, how to meditate, how to know what thinking is versus feelings, and, you know, all these different nuances. But we're just not good at that. We're so focused on the academic side, or, you know, you must accumulate this set of knowledge. We're not really taught wisdom or how to apply it. So no wonder there's a lot of ignorance in the world and a lot of kind of choices made out of poor knowledge or inability to question, inability to think critically about things.
That's true. And I hear a lot of times with people, this is how I feel, this is how I feel. And I'm like, well, you feel that way because it's attached to something that you've experienced. And then that's the only reason why you have those emotions, you know, because there's either something very pleasant attached to that or something very negative attached to that. That's why you have these kind of feelings. And so as long as we stay ignorant to knowledge, it can trap us in places where there's a lot of arguments and a lot of debate and a lot of anger, and, you know, which brings us to the next one, right?
Which is the next one. Because if you don't get what you want, what happens? You start to get angry, and, you know, that can lead into hatred and other violence and other sort of very serious issues, or people will hold it in. And again, that causes issues. You know, if you have a buildup of emotions, it might lead to self-harming or, you know, even worse, committing suicide or something like that, or tempting it.
I heard Wayne Dyer say one time that he considered resentment and anger the same thing. He said there was no justified resentment. And the reason for that is because what happens when you hold on to something like that, you hold on to anger or resentment, it festers and it builds inside of you, right? And he said nobody's ever died from a snake bite. What they did die from was the venom, and the venom moved through the body and eventually killed them. And that's really what resentment and anger does. According to Louise Hay, anger is the cause for cancer.
It would make sense to me. Yeah, it would manifest in the body. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're holding it in and you can't deal with it in whatever way, yes, it would. Even chemically, you know, there's, I don't know if you ever saw that film, What the Bleep, back in the, I think it was the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy in there was saying your body can synthesize any chemical it wants, basically, if you give it the right instructions. Also, that you generate chemicals that help your immune system and help you to heal. And you also generate chemicals that harm your body and damage your immune system. But guess what drives those things? It's your state of mind. So if you're constantly holding in anger, you're going to poison yourself. As you said, you're literally causing your mind to create negative chemicals that actually make you feel depressed, make you down, make you, you know, reinforce your resentment and so on. Conversely, if you watch comedies and you have fun and everything, you'll create chemicals that boost your immune system.
That's absolutely true. That's actually scientifically proven, by the way.
Absolutely. That's right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So. And if you think about it, you think about what happens is that when you get angry, you, a lot of times somebody comes over to you and says something and they're just trying to be nice, and you're still sitting in that anger, and you project that out on that person. I mean, I've had people do that to me, and I've just kind of like backed off and later on came back and said, look, I know this wasn't about me. What's going on? But sometimes these things, people do that. They don't take into consideration that they're harvesting emotions are hurting other people.
And hurting themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, and the Buddha knew this, because this is my favorite, one of my favorite Buddhist quotes. You know, I think I said it to you before. It's, you know, resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's like the other person may not even know that you're angry with them or upset, but all you're holding in of that anger is causing problems for you. It's like you're poisoning yourself, as you rightly said earlier. So the whole approach of Buddhism is to help people try to address these three poisons. And it's the key to everything, basically.
Okay, so let's talk about the solutions. You were going to talk about the five elements. And let's talk about some solutions to overcome this stuff.
Yeah. So there's a whole lot written. There's a treatise from the 17th century of Buddhist. It's basically a book of Buddhist paintings that contains a lot of their herbal approaches, their other approaches to healing. There's huge amounts of information out there, and I don't want anyone to think we're experts, because we're not. And, you know, I hope at some point we can interview a real Tibetan Buddhist doctor, because they'll give you the nuances and the ins and outs of this. But we're giving you the overall ballpark figure, because I think it's an interesting subject. You know, we want people to have awareness of this and to understand the Eastern medical system is probably far more sophisticated than the Western and has a lot of very interesting differences that focus both on the mind and the body, because those are connected, as we know. The sort of next level, so we talked about three poisons. So the next level is to look at the five elements. So they talk about our bodies and our beings being made up of these five different elements, which are air, fire, water, earth, and space. In the Buddhist system. Mm-hmm. So they are considered five qualities of energy. They're five types of energy that you can locate in your body and in your system.
I want to ask you a question about that. I've noticed that Buddhists tend to do things like Tai Chi, or they'll even do Qigong. Qigong, there's an exercise that you can do that you're actually cultivating earth energy, where you're using Qigong to move that energy back and forth, and you can focus on specific parts of your body with that earth energy. I'm really interested in hearing how these types of energies can help heal our bodies.
Sure. Okay. So we'll do this, and then we'll go on to the next level, which is the three Nyepas, which is more about the manifestation aspect.
Okay.
But, so let's go into the elements a little more. So air is to do with movement and energy moving around your system, and it relates to the lungs, understandably. Fire is about change and transforming energy, and that in this system relates to the stomach and the digestive system. Water is about cohesion and moisture and relates to the blood. And earth is about stability and structure and connects to the bones and the sinews and, you know, the structure of the body. If those are out of balance in any one of those areas, you may get illnesses in those organs primarily. Mm-hmm. And the way they diagnose it is of, you know, one of the key ways they diagnose it is through monitoring your pulse. And apparently they have a very sophisticated system for understanding different types of pulse rate and how that will tell you what's going on with the different elements and aspects of the body. I don't know much about that system, to be honest, but this is what I understand it from speaking to people and reading.
I knew an acupuncturist that could literally grab your wrist, like where your pulse is, and could tell you what's wrong with your body.
Not surprised, having found out about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are the things that make us up, these five types of energy. And if you begin to understand and master those different elements, as you say, through techniques, the Chinese technique of Qigong and Qigong, I don't know if I'm saying that right, and, you know, energy movement through Tai Chi and other things, it'll help to fix the balance and manifest health in your body instead of illness. But of course, you also have to address, you know, the poisons that are going on in your mind and so on. So the way these elements manifest in the body, according to the Tibetan system, is in what they call the three Nyepa. The three Nyepas, which are like dynamic and vital energies of mind and body that maintain the balance and homeostasis in your body. So from the elements come three very key important aspects. Related to the air element is the Nyepa, which is called Lung, and that's wind. And it's about the movement of energy through the body system. You've got Tripa, which is the second one, which is fire, and that relates to bile. And it's about transforming and change. And obviously we create energy in our body as heat and so on. And then you've got Bekken, which is a combination of earth and water, relates to phlegm, I suppose, in the old system. And it's about nourishment and stabilizing the body. And it relates a little bit, you know, like in the Hindu system, they've got Rajas, Tamas, and Sattva. Rajas is very stabilizing and keeps things fixed. Tamas is movement, and then Sattva is about sort of growth and change in a positive way. So it's sort of similar. And I think apparently in the 14th century, there was some huge conference where the Vedic masters, the Tibetan masters, and the Chinese medicine masters all got together and decided on their system, you know, and so they're all very similar.
So how are you supposed to use these elements to cure the body? Is it through the like Tai Chi or the Qigong?
Well, let's get onto that in a minute. I'll just go into these just a little bit more. So the three nyepas, lung, which is the air one, is to do with circulation, respiration, muscle, urinary, bowel movements, your nervous system, and your thoughts. So things that relate to the air correspond to air. It's similar to the Western system, actually, of magic, where you know we understand what air corresponds with. Tripa, which is the fire aspect, deals with metabolism, digestion, temperature regulation, liver function, and skin complexion. And then Beacon, which is the water-earth combination, deals with the physical structure, the joints. It provides moisture, lubrication, smooth skin, induces sleep, and other aspects of liquids in your body. Let's go into each one of those in more detail, shall we?
Yeah. That would be great.
So if we go to lung, which is the air aspect, in this nyepa, you know, if someone's healthy and they have healthy lung energy, their mind will be in balance. They'll be creative and imaginative. They'll be open to new experiences. If they are out of balance, then they'll be anxious. They'll have a lot of fear, emotional instability. They'll find it hard to concentrate. So if your lung's out of balance, this is how it works in the system. And then physically, if you're out of balance, you can, you know, you eat irregularly, you have poor sleep, you have problems with your digestion, cold hands and feet, muscle tension and spasms, pain in your body, dry skin, and so on. So that starts to be the negative effects in the body once it begins to manifest.
Let's just talk about the emotional side of it. You said that you have fear and you're anxious and stuff like that. Are you saying that the way to balance out that energy, that air, what it was air, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To balance that out, would it be to get your anxiety under control, to get your mind under control? Would that be the way to balance out that energy, or is it something completely different? How do they fix it?
Yeah, I mean, with all of them, each one has a set of, you know, positives and then problems that come for it. We can go into the other two as well, if you like, in a minute.
Yeah.
But the treatment tends to be a mixture of diet, lifestyle, but also internal medicines, which tend to be based on herbs and plants and other things like that, or herbs, if you're American. And then also external sort of therapies like massage. They'll use hot oil poultices. They'll use steam baths, hot compresses, and things like that. So these are cupping, actually, and moxibustion, acupuncture, various things like that as well. So they'll use a combination that's been tailored for that particular person. You know, after they've done all their diagnosis and all this kind of stuff, they'll prescribe a set of things which include all of those aspects.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So,
which makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, but how would you do preventative medicine? How would you keep that from getting out of balance before you have to start seeing an acupuncturist and getting cupping and massage and all that other stuff, you know?
Right. I guess there's two levels to it. So the top level is going to be to fix your three poisons and try and develop your own philosophy and presumably practice Buddhism to make sure that you understand your mind and you know how to change it. But also, I guess there are diet and lifestyle and other methods that are recommended. I guess it's about keeping everything in balance, as always, making sure that, you know, you notice when your body's going off balance, so you know when to catch that before it becomes something serious. Okay. So maybe you would go for a massage every week. Maybe you would change your lifestyle so that you're not enhancing those poisons. You know, you try to harmonize your relationships. You try to exercise. You try to meditate. I mean, meditation is big. It's like the key to a lot of things. You would work on your lifestyle, and probably meditation is the key to a lot of these things, because that is designed to fix the three poisons. That's what they would approach it with, I'm guessing. They'd look at someone's skin, look at their tongue. They'd look at, you know, what their mind's like. Do they seem balanced? Do they seem goal-directed or satisfied? How's the lifestyle? Is it organized, stable, or is it balanced? There's a lot of other detail. They go into things in real depth, you know, in terms of the foods you eat, what they taste like. And they'll prescribe foods to try and balance your three nyepas. So if you need more earth, For example, you might be encouraged to eat sweet potatoes, carrots, and honey and things like that. If you need to improve your water and your fire, you might be told to add salt to your food, for example. But if it's not, if it's out of balance, then remove salt. So it's a case of understanding the balance. There's a whole lot to it to rebalance the three nepas. Shall I go into the other two a bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
So just to complete the collection, we've already talked about lung, which is the psychological side, the nervous system. The next one is tripa. So tripa is psychologically, when that's out of balance, people become super competitive, angry, jealous, irritable, under stress. They might get gray hair early or balding early. They have physical symptoms like too much appetite, problems with digestion, oily skin or hair, body temperature gets too hot. This is fire. This is the tripa.
Ah, that's interesting.
So we've got the three nepas. We've got lung, which is more air related. We've got tripa, which is fire related, and bekan, which is more to do with earth and water and the body. So we've been talking about tripa. So yeah. Diseases might be things like inflammation or acid reflux or headaches or digestive issues like IBS or Crohn's and liver diseases and stuff like that. If you've got too much fire or the fire's out of balance. And then the third one is bekan, which relates to earth and water. That sort of psychologically, people who are very balanced with bekan might be very calm, content, patient, and so on. But if they're out of balance, it would be the opposite, you know? They would avoid things. They might be a couch potato, you know? They have a tendency just to try and keep the peace for the sake of it without challenging anything. Procrastination. Physical symptoms of bekan out of balance is having a slow digestion, maybe pain after a meal, lots of gas, too much sleep, poor blood circulation, cold feet and things like that. Diseases might be diabetes type 2, obesity, fluid retention, cysts and tumors and things like that. So anything sort of physical that manifests in the body. So those are the three nepas and their effects. So basically, once you understand that, you can start to remedy and address those three things and put them back into balance via some of the things we've talked about, you know, the diet, lifestyle, you know, therapies, massage.
Wow, that's really interesting. I really would like to know, get into a little bit more of preventative. I was looking up some stuff while you were talking. Things like the earth, you know, to get yourself more in balance with that is actually doing things that has to do with earth energy, like gardening, walking outside, outside.
That would make sense, yeah.
I think that, you know, when you think about the elements and what they are, you know, air does have to do with lungs, but it also associates with the mind as well. So a lot of times you might even have problems with overthinking, anxiety, like you said. Meditation would be the biggest cure for that, I would think. Really kind of learning how to settle your mind down.
Yeah, it's a big part of it, I think. They talk about dietary treatments for that, certain things you can eat and do as well. But also the lifestyle thing is regular sleep, listening to beautiful music, you know, reducing your desire by having gratitude for what you've got. As you say, walking in nature and gardening and stuff, peaceful, calm environments, enjoying close friends and relatives, getting regular sleep, reducing your emotional stress. Yeah. So that's for the lung air element. And then for tripa, which is the fire aspect, the diet would be things like cold stuff like cucumbers, yogurt, soup made from barley, it says, dandelion leaves. The lifestyle aspects or examples would include walking near water, you know, things to counteract fire. So avoiding physical stress, avoid sunbathing, encourage swimming and cold showers, stay in cool areas or near the sea, and getting lots of physical and mental rest without being disturbed.
You need the water to kind of like settle it down.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, like what you're saying, taking baths and stuff like that, that water element can, anything that has to do with that can kind of settle it down, having more compassion, volunteering, doing things to helping others. Fires needs the water, but the water needs the fire. And, you know, I would like to kind of talk about that for a second, because I'm just kind of curious, like, how would you go about that? Would it be sunbathing? You know how, like you said, avoid sunbathing. Are you getting out in the sun a little bit more? You know,
that appears to be one of it. It's Beccan is the third lung, which is about earth and water. And they recommend sort of solid foods like oatmeal, cardamom, cinnamon, cumin, things to actually activate a bit more, like black pepper, ginger tea. And then the lifestyle aspects are, you know, staying in a dry, warm area, sunbathing, probably, as you say, mm-hmm. having warm clothing, having a regular exercise routine, drinking hot water before each meal.
A hot tea,
you see.
If you're English.
We love our tea, absolutely. Except I found in Australia, the tea's not quite the same as the English tea, so...
Really?
I do miss it. Yeah, it's something different. I don't know what it is. It's things to counteract, and it sort of makes sense, doesn't it? Because if you've said, it's if you know what fire element is, you probably use the opposite to bring it into balance. And the same with water and earth. So yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Those are important things.
Yeah. And I think that's how you have to look at it. Fire can be positive, like passion and purpose, but it can also be negative, like anger, resentment, overreacting, stress. Yeah. And so what puts out fire is water. Thinking of things like drinking a lot of water, taking a bath, you know, things that's going to be
swimming,
right? All of those kind of things are going to be, it's interesting. You know, I was thinking about this as you were talking. One of my dogs is very, very emotional, have attention. She has to be touched. She's always needs to cuddle. But she's very quick to anger, very quick. Like she'll get mad at my other dog very fast.
Wow.
Her emotions are very watery, you know, very, very emotional. And you know what calms her down? Sunbathing. Like she'll go out and lay out sun. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. She likes to be outside. And she likes to run and she likes to burn off that energy. Like she likes to run really fast. Like that'll make her super happy. You know?
Amazing. And, yeah.
Like if you think about it, this is a very watery animal that has extremely emotional and she automatically knows what's going to calm her down. Laying in the sun or running around, burning off that energy.
There we are. Wow.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. You know, if you just think about what's the solution? If you're a very fiery person, you need water. If you're a very watery person, emotional, you need fire.
Yeah. Sort of common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
I guess we can learn from animals because on two levels, you know, one is they tend to know how to self-regulate a lot of the time. Just naturally, but also it's about a reflection of our animal nature, our own animal nature, which I guess Buddhism would focus on a lot because, you know, a great deal of Buddhist philosophy is around dealing with your lower desires and your lower emotions and the things that cause these three poisons and attachment. So it's important. If we watch animals, we can learn a lot. Yeah.
Do you think it's the same way with earth and air?
Yeah, I would say so.
You have too much earth, then you need a little bit of air. So
okay
so that's or vice versa. That makes a lot of sense. But also too, like I said before, you can also learn like Tai Chi and Qigong because they actually work with those specific elements for whatever it is that you're experiencing, you know.
Right.
and also too, there's just be preventative. I mean, it's always good to keep all those elements in balance within yourself.
Of course. Yeah. It makes total sense, doesn't it?
I mean, because at any second you can become too fiery or too watery.
Well, certainly for some of us, our natures lean more towards one or the other, don't they? You know, like some people are more fiery naturally, or some people are more kind of airy naturally, or more water and earthy. So I would say I'm much more water and earth, so I tend to need help to activate, you know, and to do more fiery things. So probably should be in the sun more. I don't know, but if you're a fiery person, you might need the opposite, right? So,
well, what's interesting is I have a lot of fire in me. I'm a Leo, and my moon sign is an Aries, so it's double fire here. So the best thing for me to do is go to the lake or go to the beach. beach. Yes, that's like that's like the ultimate cure. Or go sit in a bathtub. Just go and sit in a long bath. Like, I'll tell you a really funny story. Shane and I bought an RV, and a lot of people that listen to me story like a long time ago, but we bought an RV and we decided we were going to live in it and we were going to travel and all this other stuff. Well, that ended up being the worst nightmare because, well, first off, all it had was this little bitty shower in it. And so you're trying to, you know, like shower in this little space. And that was really hard. They didn't have any bathtubs and I have to have my bathtub. It really created a lot of like angsty feelings in me because I didn't have that place to go to lay in. And when we decided to nix the whole thing and sell it and go back to normal living, the very first thing I said was, I have to have a really big bathtub.
Fair enough. Can you not get an RV with a bathtub in it?
Oh, I'm sure you can, but they're really small. Yeah. Most of them don't have it because they do take up too much space. And you are limited to how much space you have in an RV. So
makes sense, I guess. Yeah. Just actually out of interest, if anyone wants to find out some more information about the connection between Tibetan medicine and Western medicine, or just Tibetan medicine anyway, there's quite a few videos on YouTube and so on. But there's an organization called Tibetan and Western Integrative Medicine Symposium that have a website, www.twims.org. I guess we could put that in there. And that gives quite a lot of interesting information, what we've been discussing, and probably in more detail and with more knowledge than we actually have. So, or I have anyway. There's also a book that they recommend called The Fundamentals of Tibetan Medicine, which I guess you can Google or find on. And there's another book called The Principles of Tibetan Medicine by Dr. Tamdin Sither Bradley, which is quite nice and easy to read if anyone's interested. Again, maybe we can put that as a reference into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll put all that stuff in there. Did we cover everything in this or is there more to it?
I think that's the main aspect. Everything else comes off of that. So, you know, what types. And with the diagnosis, that's going to be very important for the individual because the great difference between Eastern medicine and Western, I think, is that they really try and tailor it to the individual. Look at you as a person and your needs, whereas Western medical model tends to look at the body as a machine and it's sort of like, oh, yeah, well, let's treat this bone. Whereas Eastern would say, let's treat this person who happens to have a bone disorder or something. If you do meditation, it'll help everything because Buddhism's big on the idea of emptiness, that the space between everything, you know, none of our organs exist independently. They always have to be connected. Will be helped through meditation and other Buddhist techniques.
Do we have anything else that we want to kind of cover when it comes to?
I think that's the actual sort of medical system that we've covered that now pretty much. I mean, there's a lot more to it. Obviously, I don't want people to think that we've covered everything because there are books and books on it. You know, and we'll put a recommendation in the description below. But in general, there is the whole Buddhist concept that surrounds medicine and all of the other practices, which is about purifying yourself and cleansing yourself and developing an awareness of how you know problems happen in one's life. And you know, they're big on karma. So karma's understanding karma and the causes and effects of what you do and what you think in life is a huge part of Buddhism.
And you know, I'm curious with Buddhism or even Tibetan Buddhism, when they are healing somebody, do they take into consideration your astrological chart? Because, you know, just from some of the stuff you're saying, and, you know, I was kind of reflecting on who I am and how I am and what do I do naturally. There was many years ago, I wasn't able to handle my anger or my temper. And there was, I would fire off very, very fast and very easily. Obviously, over the years of studying like meditation and doing all the things, I have a lot of self-control and I stay very balanced internally. However, that was something that I had to train myself into. It's not something natural. And so I'm kind of curious, just because like when you were saying these things, I was thinking, gosh, I'm doing some of these things automatically. Do we find ourselves, I mean, you're a Cancer, okay? Mm. So What do you find yourself doing things relative to your sign that kind of balances things out naturally?
I would say so. Yeah, I think we all do. And I think there are specialists in astrology within the Buddhist tradition. But I think it's always very important in every culture to understand our personality and how that works. And astrology is a great way to do that, isn't it? So, I think I probably do naturally do calming things because I'm a water sign. So I guess I probably naturally lean towards beckon in the Tibetan system, the more watery, earthy side of things, which may also bring problems related to that, you know. But
you're a water sign, so there's a lot of emotions attributed to a Cancer. I'm curious as to are you doing things to kind of burn that out? Like, are you getting out in the sun? Are you going on outdoor activities, climbing mountains, and you know, like planting gardens? I mean, do you find yourself doing these things kind of automatically, like when you have time?
Well, actually what happens is the opposite. So I have to force myself to do those things because I'm too calm often. I can be very calm and I'm very, certainly in my younger days anyway, I used to have to force myself to go out because I'd rather stay at home and read a book, you know, or, you know, paint pictures or make art or something. But as I've gotten older, I guess I've learned to balance those things out a lot more, and I do try and get out and do walks and do other stuff. So, that would balance my watery nature.
And you are a Libra moon?
No, Scorpio.
Scorpio. Oh, you're a Scorpio moon. Oh, okay. So you have double water, just like I have double fire.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Wow. But I
think it may be because I know you have a Scorpio placement as well, and I think that does help our occult interest, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think that does. Have you found, though, I mean, I'm going to kind of go back to this, but have you found that when you do things that are outdoor activities or being out in the sun a little bit more, do you find that you feel better?
Yeah, very often. It does balance me out, for sure, because otherwise it's too easy just to stay in all the time, you know? So, yeah, I do enjoy it once I've done it, but getting myself to do it, that can be a challenge at times. It has been in the past. How about you?
What for me?
I
have double fire, and so I'm constantly doing stuff, like on the phone, talking to somebody, taking care of something, making something, creating something, doing something. There's always a lot, you know, but I personally found that when my stress level gets high, for whatever reason that I'm upset about something, water seems to fix it all. I mean, no matter what, it's like, go to the lake. You get on the boat. Yeah. That'll fix it.
That's so nice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
When my dad was alive, he had a really nice boat and he lived on the lake. We would get out on the boat and we'd spend the day out there. And some of the kids would do like water skiing and stuff like that. And just being in the boat made the difference for me, you know, just kind of being on water, it just did something. In the water, love to float in the water, you know, just go into the pool, anything like that has always been, just being around it seems to do something that kind of like burns all that energy out and calms me. That's why I was curious to have somebody who's like double water. Like, that's a lot of emotions that you have. So how do you?
Over time, I've learned to deal with all of that, I guess.
The same way I have to hold my fire, right?
Right, yeah. And I think when you follow a spiritual path, you do that, don't you? You kind of do start to learn about yourself and understand all these things. I also have Virgo rising, which probably calms a lot of things down. So it stops me being too emotional. It stops the emotions being too much. So it makes me more analytical. But
That's the earth energy. Yeah. I can see that.
So one of the big sort of Buddhist practices is to focus on the medicine Buddha for healing. Mm-hmm. So that's the medicine Buddha. He's blue.
I can see it. So it's a blue Buddha that has like some kind of sash, like a red and gold sash over it, and like a bunch of red and blue jewels on the base of the sitting on.
And if you look at his hands, he's holding a bowl, which is the medicine bowl, and the other hand he's holding a plant, So those are the symbols of his work. You know, he uses this medicine in a bowl and mixes up medicine, and he also uses plants and herbs and other things to treat people, and obviously, of course, meditative techniques. So there's a mantra that goes with the medicine Buddha. If you're able to focus on him, I mean, it's the same Buddha. It's just Buddha in a form that's to do with medicine and treatment and healing. So if you need healing in life, then it's good to focus on the medicine Buddha and do the mantra in that system.
Do you know the mantra for the medicine Buddha?
I know a prayer and a mantra. So
okay,
we can do both if you like.
Let's do the mantra first, and then we can do the prayer.
So the mantra goes, Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze radza samudgataya soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze radza samudgataya soha. Teyata om bekanze bekanze maha bekanze bekanze radza samudgataya soha. And you can find that on YouTube. There's various different versions of it. Just type medicine Buddha mantra. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of versions where you can just play it in the background while you're going to sleep. And it's very peaceful, actually. It's very calming and beautiful too.
Yeah, feel. Love it. So what's the prayer?
So that's that. And then the prayer is towards the medicine Buddha. So homage to Buddha Vaidura Prabha, transcendent one, compassionately acting on behalf of living beings. The mere hearing of whose name offers sanctuary from the sufferings of inferior existences. Spiritual master of medicine, dispelling diseases caused by the three poisons, attachment, aversion, and delusion.
That sounds great. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. This has been really quite informative, and keep yourself balanced. You know, do all these different things. I'm going to put this information just so that you guys will have a really clear understanding of what it is. That'll be in the description. And we will talk to you next week.
Thank you very much. Talk to you soon.
Subscribe now.